We turn to the book of Judges, chapter 6, and read from verses 25 to 40. And it came to pass the same night that the Lord said unto him, Take thy father's young bullock, even the second bullock of 7 years old, and throw down the altar of Baal that thy father hath, and cut down the grove that is by it, and build an altar unto the Lord thy God upon the top of this rock, in the ordered place. And take the second bullock, and offer a burnt sacrifice with the wood of the grove which thou shalt cut down. Then Gideon took 10 men of his servants, and did as the Lord had said unto him. And so it was, because he feared his father's household and the men of the city, that he could not do it by day, that he did it by night. And when the men of the city arose early in the morning, behold, the altar of Baal was cast down, and the grove was cut down that was by it, and the second bullock was offered upon the altar that was built. And they said one to another, Who hath done this thing? And when they inquired and asked, they said, Gideon, the son of Joash, hath done this thing. Then the men of the city said unto Joash, Bring out thy son, that he may die, because he hath cast down the altar of Baal, and because he hath cut down the grove that was by it. And Joash said unto all that stood against him, Will ye plead for Baal? Will ye save him? He that will plead for him, let him be put to death whilst it is yet morning. If he be a god, let him plead for himself, because one hath cast down his altar. Therefore on that day he called him Jerubbaal, saying, Let Baal plead against him, because he hath thrown down his altar. Then all the Midianites and the Amalekites and the children of the east were gathered together and went over and pitched in the valley of Jezreel. But the Spirit of the Lord came upon Gideon, and he blew a trumpet, and Abiezer was gathered after him. And he sent messengers throughout all Manasseh, who also was gathered after him. And he sent messengers unto Asher and unto Zebulun and unto Naphtali, and they came up to meet him, to meet them. And Gideon said unto God, If thou wilt save Israel by mine hand, as thou hast said, behold, I will put a fleece of wool in the floor. And if the dew be on the fleece only, and it be dry upon all the earth beside, then shall I know that thou wilt save Israel by mine hand, as thou hast said. And it was so, for he rose up early on the morrow, and thrust the fleece together, and wringed the dew out of the fleece, a bowl full of water. And Gideon said unto God, Let not thine anger be hot against me, and I will speak but this once. Let me prove, I pray thee, but this once with the fleece. Let it now be dry only upon the fleece, and upon all the ground let there be dew. And God did so that night, for it was dry upon the fleece only, and there was dew on all the ground. Thus far the reading of God's word. We will direct you to the text for this afternoon's service, Judges chapter 6. Our text is the verses 33 to 40. Let me read verse 34 and 36 and following. But the Spirit of the Lord came upon Gideon, and he blew a trumpet, and Abiezer was gathered after him. Verse 36, And Gideon said unto God, If thou wilt save Israel by mine hand, as thou hast said, behold, I will put a fleece of wool in the floor. And if the dew be on the fleece only, and it be dry upon all the earth beside, then shall I know that thou wilt save Israel by mine hand, as thou hast said. And it was so, for he rose up early on the morrow, and thrust the fleece together, and wringed the dew out of the fleece, a bowl full of water. And Gideon said unto God, Let not thine anger be hot against me, and I will speak but this once. Let me prove, I pray thee, but this once with the fleece. Let it now be dry only upon the fleece, and upon all the ground let there be dew. And God did so that night, for it was dry upon the fleece only, and there was dew on all the ground. Our theme is Gideon clothed with the Spirit of God. Gideon clothed with the Spirit of God. First, while the battle is set against God's people, Secondly, with a trumpet blast calling to God's people, And thirdly, confirmed with a sign for God's people. Gideon clothed with the Spirit of God. First, while the battle is set against God's people. Secondly, with a trumpet blast calling to God's people. And thirdly, confirmed with a sign for God's people. Israel has been sighing under the bondage of the Midianites. They have been oppressing them. But God will bring deliverance. He has raised up a deliverer, Gideon, and through him God will deliver his people. Now the enemy is a mighty enemy, great and numerous. They are scattered abroad as grasshoppers. Some 135,000 Midianites. And their strategy has been to come every year, sometime before the harvest, and devour up all the harvest. And what do the people of Israel do? They run to the hills and hide. Well, another year, another harvest approaching, another invasion. The Midianites, Amalekites, and all the children of the east, they cross the Jordan River and pitch their tents in the valley of Jezreel, which is a very large valley, fertile valley, and that spans from the Jordan River to the Mediterranean Sea. And these Midianites are set to devour another harvest, another crop. And they are set to fight against any who would stand in their way. They are enemies of Israel. A mighty enemy. A bold enemy. Enemies of God's people. Another year. Another invasion. You would think the same refrain was about to happen. Another outcome like the past. What can be done after all? Who can intervene? Who can defeat them? After all, the last 7 years have been all the same. Surely this year will be no different. But not so. We read something. We read something unexpected. Someone will intervene. Who? The Spirit of the Lord. The focus falls on the Spirit of the Lord, not Gideon. The Spirit of the Lord came upon Gideon. And so there you have this picture of the Midianites gathered in this valley of Jezreel. And then the focus not on Gideon, but on the Spirit of the Lord coming upon Gideon. And literally, as the footnotes of the Authorized Version also tell us, the Spirit of the Lord clothed Gideon. In other words, the Holy Spirit dressed Gideon with a garment, as with a robe, so that Gideon had armor on him. Spiritual armor, that is. The armor of the Holy Spirit. And so that tells us, in other words, that if Gideon had a sword and if Gideon had a spear, and that's all that he would have had, and he would not have had the Holy Spirit, then he really would be powerless. He would be without an armor. He would be helpless. But now Gideon is clothed with the Holy Spirit. Who clothed Gideon? Who did this? Usually when you get dressed, when you put on your clothes, you do that yourself. But when it comes to being clothed with the Holy Spirit, then it is God who clothes you. He clothed Gideon. The Spirit of the Lord did this. He doesn't leave Gideon to do this himself. He cannot. The Lord does it. And so Gideon is clothed with the Spirit of the Lord, and that is precisely what Gideon needed. He needed the Spirit to equip him. He needed the Spirit to come over him. Else he would have no strength. Else he would have no power. Else he could not fight. Certainly he would not have been able to overcome the Midianites and defeat them. And so our text is telling us that without the Spirit, Gideon could not wage war against the enemies of God. He could not fight against them. How great was his need for this great task. Now, is Gideon the only one who has needed the Holy Spirit? No. The Scriptures, they stress also our need for the Holy Spirit. We need to be equipped by the Spirit of God. We need the Holy Spirit. Take, for instance, Ephesians 5, verse 16. It tells us, "Be ye filled with the Holy Spirit." Or Luke 24, verse 49. There, the Lord Jesus was on his way to ascend into heaven, but before he ascended into heaven, he said to his disciples, "Wait in Jerusalem until ye be endued with power from on high." Referring to the Holy Spirit. They needed to be endued. And literally there in Luke, it says they needed to be clothed with the Holy Spirit. And time and again, we are instructed that we need the Spirit of God. You see, we cannot walk forward without Him. We cannot fight against spiritual enemies without Him. We cannot serve the Lord without the Spirit. It can be said that without the Spirit, we can do nothing. We need the Spirit. But now, when does the Lord give His Spirit? When we need Him. The Lord clothed Gideon with the Spirit when the enemies had come and had set themselves in array against God's people. And are we not, dear people of God, beset with many enemies? Satan, the world, our own evil flesh. And how often do these enemies not set themselves against us? And how often do they not make inroads into our lives? And they come in perhaps subtly, or not so subtly. And their aim is to do battle, to take us away from serving the Lord. They want to destroy us. You see, there is a battle. And sin wants to get the upper hand in our lives. And sometimes we must say with the psalmist that iniquities have prevailed against me. And what do we need in the face of spiritual enemies? What do we need in the face of the world and the devil and our own sinful flesh waging war against us? We need the Spirit. Is this also your need? Is this continually your need? Oh, let thy Spirit be my constant aid. Is that the language of your heart? For the Spirit of Christ, I need Him so that I might be able to take up the sword of the Spirit and fight against the enemies of my soul. And have you ever found, dear child of God, that these enemies set themselves against you daily? And that of yourself, you cannot fight against them, and you cannot defeat them, and you cannot overcome them? Well, if that is our need, in such a need, the Lord gives a garment that God's child is needing most, the Holy Spirit. And we may go to Him in our need. And He delights to answer a needy people and clothe them with spiritual armor. He clothes Gideon. And what does Gideon do? Gideon doesn't launch an offensive himself. He doesn't take up the sword and begin to fight against the Midianites. He sounds the trumpet blast. And that's our second point. He sounds the trumpet blast. He calls for Israel to gather with him, to join with him. And messages are sent to Manasseh and to Asher and to Zebulun and to Naphtali. These are all tribes up in the north of Israel. Trumpet was blasted. And messages were sent. How do you think these messages were proclaimed? How do you think these trumpets were sounded? Don't you think, boys and girls, that when the trumpet was sounded, it was sounded with urgency and with clarity and loudly? And what was the effect of the call? Well, the people responded to the call. A total of 32,000 men gather behind Gideon. And it's especially noteworthy that also the people of Abiezer, people of Gideon's own town and of his own clan, came up after Gideon. That's noteworthy, isn't it? Because we have seen on another occasion that these people of Abiezer were steeped in idol worship. The idols of Baal and Ashtaroth, and Gideon had gone one night and he had thrown down these idols. But what Gideon did wasn't appreciated by these people of Abiezer. They didn't appreciate what he had done. In fact, they sought his death. They wanted to execute Gideon for what he had done. But now Gideon has blown the trumpet and there seems to have come a change. They've heard the trumpet blast and now they are willing to follow after Gideon. In other words, they don't see Gideon no longer as a pest. They've come to see something in Gideon that they had not seen before. They come to see him as a deliverer whom God had raised up. And these people of Abiezer willingly come. Did they wait a long time? I don't think so. I think that these people of Abiezer dropped what they were doing and came after Gideon immediately. The trumpet blast had effect. Now, today, men still come under the trumpet blast. No, not the trumpet blast of Gideon, but the trumpet blast of the greater than Gideon, the Lord Jesus Christ. The trumpet blast of the gospel is sounded. And that trumpet blast is still sounded today. The Lord Jesus sends His messengers forth, gospel ministers, and these gospel ministers, they sound the trumpet blast of the gospel. And how do you think this trumpet blast must be sounded? Well, it must be sounded with urgency and with clarity like a trumpet. For you see, there's much at stake. There's souls at stake. Eternity. The well-being of the people. Their safety. Their eternal happiness is at stake. And what is the call? What is the gospel call? What does the gospel trumpet consist of? Well, it is this: forsake sin and the world and follow the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, such a call means that we need to drop everything that would hinder us from following Christ. And such a call may startle. But that is what is needed. It's a call that says, you cannot put it off. You see, the trumpet blast demands a response, immediate response. And you cannot ignore the gospel call. Here's a message that is sounded, and it's a message that announces danger, that if you will not follow after the Lord Jesus Christ, there can only be perdition for you.
And it announces that there is a king and that there is a deliverer. And to him you must turn and you must follow him.
Ah, somebody says, but it's only a messenger that sounds this message. Yes, most likely it was messengers that delivered the message to the northern tribes. But the call came from Gideon. And so it is today that messengers, they bring the message. But behind this message is the King of Heaven calling you and me. Is it sounded without effect? Is there any effect to the gospel trumpet blast? Are there those who do not come after Jesus? Sadly, yes. But the focus in our text is not on those who do not come. The focus in our text is not on those who ignore the call, but on those who do come. And then we stand still at those who do come, and who do heed the gospel blast. Who are they? Well, they are people just like those from Abiezer. People who at one time opposed to the deliverer that God had given in Gideon. Opposed to Gideon. Opposed to the appointed deliverer. That's how it was in Abiezer. These people had opposed him. And still today, man by nature is opposed to the greater than Gideon, the deliverer and the Savior. Men despise him. Men despise what he calls. Men despise what he claims. But still, there are those who once were opposed to him who are made to follow him. Once they had been clinging to their hearts of idolatry and to their enmity, but they become followers of the Lord Jesus Christ. How come? Because of the Lord Jesus Christ himself. For you see, he who orders the trumpet blast to be sounded is not just anyone, but King of heaven and earth, sovereign King, divine King, and he has power. All power is given unto me in heaven and on earth. And he makes the people willing in the day of his power. He makes them willing to follow him from their heart. And he draws them after him. And he changes their desire so that a people come to see their need of this deliverer. And they are willing to forsake all and follow him because of he who is the King. Does that include you? I mean, have you been made to follow the King? Have you been irresistibly drawn by the King? Are you a follower of the Lord Jesus Christ? The question is not whether you come to church, but if you are a follower of Christ. And that means something daily, doesn't it? And if you are such a follower of the Lord Jesus, whose power does that speak of? Does that speak of the power of the messenger? No. Does that speak of the power of you, that you were so willing to come? No. It speaks of the power of the King. It speaks to the power of the leader of his people. Now, after that the trumpet blast has been sounded by Gideon, what does Gideon do? The Spirit has come upon him, we have said. He has sounded the trumpet. A willing people have come after Gideon, and there they are gathered, 32,000 men. If you look off into the distance a little ways, there are the enemies. Mighty enemy. The battle cannot be long off. What does Gideon do? Gideon turns to the Lord in prayer. And he asks for a sign. And that's our third point. There's a confirmation of a sign for God's people. And now we come to speak of Gideon and the fleece. And when it comes to Gideon and the fleece, there are all kinds of different ideas on what is happening here. Some, they say that Gideon is afraid and that he shows unbelief and that Gideon is lacking assurance and that's why he asks for this sign. Now, Gideon may be afraid. Surely there might be some fear in him. But that it speaks of unbelief and that it speaks of a lack of assurance, is that so? If that was the case, then that would mean that Gideon is unsure of the word of God. But verse 36 and 37 tell us that Gideon knows full well what the word of God is. Two times he says in those verses, "As thou hast said." As thou hast said. So it cannot be that he is, that we see here his unbelief. Others, they would have us see that really Gideon is unwilling to deliver Israel. He's unwilling. He would want somebody else to do this. Is that the case? Well, he is clothed with a spirit, and the spirit does not make a people unwilling, but willing. And after all, Gideon has blown the trumpet. So I don't think that it is correct to speak about the unwillingness of Gideon. Men may be quick to rebuke Gideon here, but we need to be careful because then we may be rebuking someone whom God does not rebuke. The Lord does not rebuke Gideon here. The Lord has rebuked others in the past. For instance, when the Lord called Moses there in the desert by Midian, then he called Moses to be the deliverer of Israel. And Moses, he raised objection after objection. And after some objections, we read, the anger of the Lord was kindled against him. In Exodus 4, verse 14. But we don't read that here. Now, what should we say then of what Gideon is doing? Well, I think it's best to simply say Gideon asks the Lord to confirm his word. He asks the Lord to confirm his word by giving a sign. And this sign has to do with the dew. And when we see Gideon seeking this sign, then he does not seek it in unbelief, but in faith. And if we were to follow Gideon there near the valley of Jezreel, and we were to follow him going to the Lord, then we would see a man going on his knees and calling upon the name of the Lord and doing so in faith. And the Lord, well, he has been willing to give signs on other occasions, like with Abraham, when God showed the stars of heaven, Genesis 15, and he told Abram that his seed would be as numerous as the sand on the seashore and as the stars of heaven. And here we have a sign not of stars, not of sand, but of dew. And the first time that Gideon makes this request, he asks the Lord to confirm something about Gideon himself. That he, Gideon, will in fact deliver Israel. That is what he is asking in his first request, that the Lord would confirm that Gideon is in fact to be the deliverer. Two times he says that in verse 36, "If thou wilt save Israel by mine hand, as thou hast said." And verse 37, "Then shall I know that thou wilt save Israel by mine hand, as thou hast said." And what Gideon proposes to do is that he will lay a fleece of wool on the ground. And if the Lord will direct the dew of heaven onto that fleece, and on that fleece only, and leave the ground around the fleece dry, then it will be confirmed that the Lord will deliver Israel by him.
That will be a sign that he is the appointed one. And then there will be dew on the fleece only and not on the ground. Around. That will mean Gideon is the appointed deliverer.
Well, what happens, boys and girls? Well, that night, the dew gently falls.
But it doesn't fall on the ground, but only on the fleece.
And early in the morning, we see Gideon getting up and going to the fleece and putting his hand on the fleece, and it is wet, soaking wet. And he puts his hand on the ground next to it, and perhaps he has felt earlier, a little bit before, where the fleece was, and the ground is dry. Completely dry. He takes the fleece, and he wrings the fleece out into a bowl. I imagine that's a large bowl. And the fleece is not just a little wet, but soaking wet. Because after wringing out the fleece, the bowl is full. What joy this must have brought to Gideon, don't you think? For the Lord has answered his request. He has not turned away his prayer. And the Lord shows himself willing to give what Gideon had asked. But then Gideon asks for a second sign. And he doesn't ask without humility, and he doesn't ask without reverence. In fact, he prays that his prayer might be acceptable to God. And let's go follow Gideon again on his knees. Listen. Let not thine anger be hot against me. And I will speak but this once. Let me prove, I pray thee, but this once with the fleece. And in all humility and in faith, he asked the Lord that the fleece this night would be dry and the ground wet with the dew of heaven. Well, that night, the dew does not fall on the fleece, but the dew does fall silently and gently to the ground, and the ground is wet. And the ground is wet even right next to the fleece, but the fleece is completely dry. That's remarkable, isn't it? Especially because wool, and the fleece of wool, soaks up moisture more than grass. But the fleece is dry. Completely dry. And now when we hear all this, then what should we say? Well, we should say several things. One thing here that we should say is that we see something of the power of God. He sends the dew, and he can send it wheresoever he will. God is performing a miracle here. Who is it that can do this? Can Baal, the idol god, which is supposed to be the god of nature, do this? No. He cannot make a drop of dew fall down at all. But then neither can Baal direct the dew to fall onto a small surface only, like the fleece. Only the Lord can do this. And the Lord can keep the dew. He can keep the dew from falling on the ground, and he can direct it to the small surface like a fleece. Whereas if you could feel next to the fleece, then it would have been completely dry, as in the first sign. And the second sign the Lord can also do, he can make the ground wet with the dew of heaven, and he can keep that fleece which is under the same heaven, and the fleece which is supposed to soak up all the moisture, he can keep that fleece dry. Who controls the things in nature? God does. He sends the dew. And who can override nature? God can. He can tell the sun to stand still, and he can tell the moon to stand still, and he can direct the dew to fall where it will, where he will, to have it wet one area, dry on the ground next to it. This is a miracle of God. Who is a God like this God? Now, was it only Gideon who knew this miracle? Did the soldiers of Israel also know of it, perhaps? That perhaps as they woke that one morning to feel the grass, and they felt the grass, and it was strange. It was not like that usually. The grass was completely dry. But look, there was a bowl of water. And Gideon had wrung out this fleece. And that bowl was soaking wet. The bowl was full because the fleece had been soaking wet. Did the soldiers know this? Did they feel the grass was wet? And did they know that the fleece was dry the next day? Did they know what we know? I think they must have known something. But whether or not they saw this and whether or not they know this, we hear this confirming sign, and it may confirm God's people in their faith. Now the sign speaks of the power of God, and the sign speaks of the willingness of the Lord to be entreated and to give Gideon what he had asked for. But is there not something else that we should stand still by? Yes. What? The do. Why do? Why the sign of the do? And if we think of some other signs that the Lord has been pleased to give, He has given Moses to see the burning bush. That was a remarkable sign. And Jonah, he had the sign of the gourd that grew overnight. Gideon here asks for the sign of the dew. He could have asked for something else, couldn't he? Why this sign? Could he not have asked for something like the burning bush? Would that not have confirmed the same thing? And maybe could he not have asked a sign that had to do with the stars of heaven? Or something of the sand? Why a sign of the refreshing dew that falls gently on the ground? Oh, now when we think of the dew, then we realize how necessary the dew is, especially in the Middle East, where there are seasons in which there is no rain that falls on the ground. So the dew would come and the dew would supply for the land. And without the dew, it would be dry and it would be barren. And herein, I believe, the dew gives us a picture of the Holy Spirit and of the spiritual influences that He gives. For instance, in Deuteronomy 32, verse 2, where we read Moses singing a song and saying, "My doctrine shall drop as the rain, and my speech shall distill as the dew, as the small rain upon the tender herb." In other words, the Word of God shall drop down dew. And how can the Word of God drop down dew unless it is blessed by the Spirit? And so, it refreshes the weary soul. Or think for another instance of Psalm 133, verse 2 and 3, which speaks of the anointing of the priest. And there the anointing, of course, has to do with the Holy Spirit as oil comes upon the priest, and how that oil would run down the garments of the priest. And then it goes on in the next verse to say, "As the dew of Hermon, and as a dew that descended upon the mountains of Zion." You see, Gideon purposely asked for the dew, because the dew gives a picture of the anointing of the Holy Spirit. And the context of this passage has already drawn attention to this fact already, with the Spirit coming upon Gideon. The Spirit is in the focus here. And so you see, Gideon is a man who knows the need of the Spirit. He knows that he needs to be anointed with the Spirit, and he seeks a sign from God to send him filled with the Spirit in order to battle the enemy. In other words, Gideon doesn't want to go into the battlefield without the Spirit. And that's why he asks for this sign. And in this first sign, the Lord reveals to Gideon in the picture of the fleece having the dew, and having in it abundance, "Gideon, you are the judge.
You are going to deliver Israel, and you are going to deliver Israel filled with the Spirit of God, full of the dew of the Spirit. But now Gideon does not stay simply with one request only. He turns to the Lord for another request. And this time he says to the Lord, "Let the fleece be dry, and let the ground be wet, and let the whole land be wet with the dew of heaven." Now, why does Gideon ask this time? Well, this time Gideon is not asking anything about himself. That was the first time. That was the first time that he asked. That was his concern, that he was asking something for himself. The text points to that, but not here, not in the second instance. The first time he was concerned that the small area of the fleece would receive the dew, confirming that he had received the Spirit. But now Gideon is asking for others. He is asking for the whole land. He's asking that the dew would fall everywhere, meaning not only Gideon anointed with the Spirit, but the whole land, the whole people of Israel anointed with the Spirit. That is Gideon's prayer, that the people of Israel may know the Spirit's anointing. And was that not Gideon's concern? Think back several sermons to the Lord coming to Gideon the first time, and the Lord speaking to him, and what was Gideon's complaint? In verse 13, his complaint was that the Lord had forsaken his people, Israel. See, Gideon is not simply concerned about himself. He is concerned with the spiritual well-being of Israel. He longs for the people of Israel that they might be revived, and that they might know the favor of the Lord, and that they might know the dew of the Spirit upon them. You see, he was not content with himself being anointed with the Spirit. He also wanted Israel to be anointed with the same Spirit and to know the refreshing work of the Spirit. Now, there are some lessons here that we can learn. And the first lesson is this. We see one and many anointed. One and many anointed. Here, Gideon is anointed with the Spirit, but not only Gideon receives the dew, but the people with him do too. And you see, that was the only way that the people could go forward, being anointed. Yes, Gideon first, but the people also receiving the spiritual dew as well. And don't we have here something of the foreshadowing of Christ and his people? For Christ would be anointed with the Spirit. He would be anointed with the fullness of the Spirit. And that was especially shown by his baptism in the River Jordan of John the Baptist. Christ would be anointed with the Spirit. And he would anoint his people, the one Christ. And because the one is anointed, others will be anointed too. As the oil upon the head of Christ, so it would run down to the body of Christ. And so his people would receive the Spirit of Christ. And as Lord's Day 12 also speaks about, that Christians are those who are partakers of Christ's anointing. And 1 John 2 verse 27 says, "But the anointing which ye have received of him abideth in you, the anointing of the Holy Spirit." And with Christ, is there any lack of the Holy Spirit? No. Boys and girls, if you were to empty out half the water out of the Atlantic Ocean, And you were to cut off all the other supplies that would be able to enter into the Atlantic Ocean so that it would not fill up again. That the Atlantic Ocean would be half full because you have emptied out half. But when Christ disperses His Spirit, He becomes no poorer. There is no lack with Him. That just as that bowl was standing there full of the water, there is a picture of Christ who had the fullness of the Spirit and who may receive this anointing of the Spirit. To whom is the Spirit given? To those who follow Christ. To those who have been born again, who have been united to Christ by the Holy Spirit, who have come to belong to the Lord Jesus, and who do not want to be apart from the Lord Jesus. They have become followers of Him. And Christ, He disperses His Spirit to many people, like the dew spread over the land. And think of Pentecost. What is Christ doing on Pentecost? There He is in heaven at the right hand of the Father, dispersing His Spirit, pouring His Spirit out. And think of every tribe, that many shall come from every tribe and nation, and they shall be before the throne of God, praising Him because they have received the Spirit from Christ. Now there's a second lesson. This, that the Spirit works like the dew. The Spirit works like the dew. That's the picture that is given to us, the dew. And what is it that the dew from heaven does? Well, it refreshes. It gives the needed moisture. It revives the thirsty land. And is that not what the Spirit does? The Spirit refreshes. He quenches the thirst of your soul and of your heart. And how needful this is. God's people, they often find themselves so barren. They find so much deadness in themselves, and their soul is dry. And when this is the case, that also means that there is hardness and not tenderness. And how God's people need the Spirit to refresh them, especially when we feel that the days in which we live are like the days of Gideon. And we must feel that we complain with Gideon, the Lord has forsaken us, and we need to be revived so that we come to know these drops of blessing, these dewdrops of the Spirit to fall upon the soul. Without the Spirit, we are so dry. We are so powerless. Without the Spirit, we must say, I wander in a desert land where all the streams are dry. But then as God refreshes the land with dew, He also refreshes His people. Who is it that gives the dew at night? It's God. Who gives the spiritual dew? God. And that means that we ought to look to God to give His Spirit and to send His dew upon us. And when the Spirit comes, how does He come? Sometimes the Holy Spirit comes in a mighty downpour. Very noticeable, just like at Pentecost and in great awakenings. But sometimes He comes just like the dew. And with the dew, you cannot even see when the dew falls. You cannot say, there goes another drop, and there goes another drop. But it comes. One drop, and shortly later another drop. And so, when you do not see great and mighty manifestations of the Spirit, that does not mean that the Spirit has not come. Often the Spirit can come so gently, so softly, you never hear Him. But when He has come over you, and you didn't even know He was coming, then He came, refreshing your soul. And God's people know He has refreshed like the dew. And there's a third lesson. And it's the lesson that has to do with any of us who do not know the work of the Spirit.
those who feel that they are dead, that they're barren, then must say, I don't know anything of this spiritual do. What must you do? Well, that is an important question because you are barren. And you feel it is so. And you cannot deny that that is not your case. Such can be a predicament, a sad predicament, and a dangerous predicament, because if we do not come to know the spiritual dew upon our soul, that means we are dry and barren and dead. And the dry and barren and dead who remain such must perish. But that is your complaint. There is no drop that refreshes you from heaven. What must you do? Do as Gideon did. Turn to the Lord. Cry to Him and ask Him to give His spiritual blessing and to give His Spirit. And persist in prayer as Gideon persisted. You see, Gideon did not simply make one request, but he made another request. And why should we stay in a dry and barren time when we can receive spiritual dew from the Lord in the way of asking? When the Lord is willing to give spiritual dew, when He is willing to give heavenly dew, and don't we see His willingness to give it here in the account before us? He was willing to give the dew to Gideon. Men today are ready to criticize Gideon. But we find Gideon turning to the Lord in prayer. And we find the Lord hearing his request. And we find the Lord answering his request and giving him abundance of dew. Are you dry and barren? Ask, and it shall be given unto you. And if a son ask his father for bread, will he give him a stone? If ye then, being evil, know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to them that ask Him? He has said that He is willing to give. And He has said that He will be as the dew unto Israel, Hosea 14. And Christ has the fullness of the Spirit, and out of His fullness we may receive grace on top of grace. And we may receive not just one drop, but more drops of His Spirit's grace. How plenteous He is ready to supply the Spirit to a dry and thirsty heart. How gracious He is! And then you must ask of Him, and you must look to Him to give the spiritual dew. You must look in the morning unto the Lord for morning dew. And at night you must look to the Lord for the evening dew. For He has said, I will cause the shower to come down in His season. There shall be showers of blessing. Ezekiel 34. And He has given showers of blessing then. And He still gives them today, and you can say, Lord, I hear of showers of blessing. Thou art scattering full and free. Showers the thirsty land refreshing. Let some droppings fall on me, even me. Amen.